Eddie Cantor Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jimmy Wallace with introducing the Eddie Cantor Show, a half hour of fun and music. Here is the star of our show, the little man with the big eyes, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Eddie, I have a picture here in an English magazine that shows you in front of Buckingham Palace.
Jimmy, doesn't it show me inside the palace?
No. You mean to say you actually lived there?
Yes, yes. When I played London, I was invited to stay there.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Not so wonderful. The heating system was very bad. At 7 o'clock in the morning, a butler came in and asked, "Would you care to tub, sir?"
And did you tub?
No, it was too cold, so I just basined.
Folks, here's a warm friend of yours with a helpful hint.
I had the best time last night that I've had in weeks.
Where did you go?
Nowhere. I stayed in. A friend of mine sent me some radio recordings from Europe, and what do you think?
What?
They're doing some of the radio shows over there that we did in America years ago. The first one I heard was a typical daytime serial. The announcer sounded like this. "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we greet you on behalf of our sponsor, the makers of Dig, the only breakfast food with the locked-in flavor. If Dig ever gets out, we're dead. Ask for it at your neighborhood store, and if your store is out of it, are you lucky?"
Remember, Dig, spelled backwards, is, well, I'll be blasted.
Another happy chapter in our drama, Life Can Be Miserable. Last week, when we left Widow Levant in her oxygen tent, she had received word that just before her house burned down, the insurance had expired. Due to the negligence of her son, Rodney, who, while on the way to the insurance company to pay the premium, was struck by a speeding truck, knocking the widow's life savings down the sewer, also Rodney. But brave Widow Levant, though alone in the world now, smiles bravely as kind old Dr. Hawkins brings her the first good news she's ever had.
"Well, Widow Levant, Dr. Oglethorpe and I have checked your case thoroughly. You're completely cured. You're a well woman, widow. 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 I said you're a well woman, widow. Well's what I said, widow. Widow Levant."
Well, I guess it was too much for the widow. If this program had only been on yesterday, she'd have made it. Remember, life can be miserable with did.
Whether you're in jolly old England or in the happy United States, every person loves to hear good news. Listen.
Here is Roy Edwards in a wide-awake version of Sleepy Time Gal.
Sleepy Time Gal, you're turning night into day. Sleepy time gal, you dance the evening away. Before each silvery star fades out of sight, please give me one little kiss, then let us whisper goodnight. It's getting late and dear, your pillow's waiting. Sleepy time gal, when all your dancing is through. Sleepy time gal, I'll find a cottage for you. You learn to cook and to sew. What's more, you love it, I know. When you're stay at home, play at home, 8 o'clock sleepy time, girl. Cook and to sew. What's more, you love it, I know. When you're stay at home, play at home, 8 o'clock sleepy time, girl.
We're back again in England. The Court of Domestic Relations. Judge Whittingham presiding.
Case 9074. Now, miss, I understand that a slight difference has arisen between you and your husband. Tell me, in your own words, why this lover's quarrel came about.
My husband is a stinker.
Please, dear lady. Since the dignity of this court must be preserved, I ask you to refrain from calling your spouse harsh names. Even if he is a stinker.
My husband is still unfaithful. Yesterday, another woman phoned my husband George at Gladstone 62.
Please, please, no names or phone numbers. The identity of our subjects must remain secret. Simply describe this woman.
Well, she's 21 years old. She's blonde and she's very beautiful.
What's her name and phone number?
Inside, 2200. And if a man answers, hang up, it's me husband.
Oh, you're jumping at conclusions, Miss 9074. Married people should learn to trust their mates. If they're smart about such things, they'll never have marital difficulties. Only this morning, I was explaining that to my sixth wife.
This is different, Judge, Your Honor. If I don't divorce me husband, I'm afraid he'll do me bodily harm. Why, right now, I'm wearing a bulletproof vest because I found out he followed me here.
Dear girl, divorce is never necessary. Give yourself time to cool off. Again, I say to you, trust your husband. Take off that bulletproof vest.
Well, okay, if you say so. Here, now. Oh!
And so, another knotty marital problem has been solved. This woman lying at my feet proves that divorce is never necessary. She has cooled off and is getting cooler by the minute. Her worries are over, and the husband is free to continue with life, liberty, and the pursuit of the blonde. Here is some information you didn't ask for, but I'm sure you'll be happy when you get it. Eddie, our English cousins are so precise.
You bet they are. They're truly a great people. I'll never forget tuning in my radio and hearing a British newscaster. He said, Flosh, there have been a series of bank robberies lately by a group of ruffians. First, they robbed the First Bank of England. Then they robbed the Second Bank of England. Then they robbed the Third Bank of England. However, this evening, Scotland Yard was waiting for them at the Fourth Bank of England. But the blighters robbed the First Bank of England again. They're not to be trusted. Cheerio.
You know, I got a terrific boot out of Harrison Chumley and his description of the royal wedding.
I remember it very well, James. It's a jolly good day here in London, if you like fog. The spectators are standing 10 deep. Makes it very uncomfortable for the poor chaps underneath. You're there. Now the procession is starting to pass our vantage point. In the lead is a horse-drawn carriage. Gets a tremendous cheer from the crowd. It's the first time they've ever seen a horse drawn in a carriage. The list of wedding gifts includes a set of silver servers from King Christian, a set of cut glass decanters from the Duke of Alba, and a washing machine from Truth the Consequences. And now, listen, the ceremony is about to begin. Philip takes the ring out of his pocket and places it on Elizabeth's nose. Blast it, Father. Now, find a finger. Flips on the ring, and they are man and wife. You have just heard the description of the royal wedding direct from... What's that, Reggie? You haven't set up the microphones. Egad, for the past half hour, I've been talking into my monocle.
The royal wedding was a bright spot for most Englishmen. To keep English money at home, a 75% tax was levied on American films, thus virtually barring them from England. Here is a typical Englishman's reaction.
Dash it all. We were counting on Marilyn Monroe to carry us through a cold winter.
Here are some words that can help carry you through the week without straining your budget. Eddie, I understand your salute to a show business personality has something to do with the theme of this show about entertainment in England.
That's right, James. One performance that's as vivid in my mind today as when it happened in July 1938 was the night I appeared with Gracie Fields at the Kilbourne State in London. It was a benefit performance for refugee children. An audience of more than 4,000 people paid £13,000, that's $65,000, to see the show. It began at 12 o'clock midnight and lasted until 4 a.m. At about 3:30 in the morning, as master of ceremonies, I introduced Gracie Fields. She walked on stage to a tremendous reception, threw down the microphone and said, "I don't need this gadget. If you people want me to, I'll wait while you go out and ring up your folks in Manchester or Glasgow and tell them to open the windows. They'll hear Gracie from here." She sang for a full half hour, ballads, comedy songs. When the clock struck four, she joined me in my theme, "I love to spend this hour with you." When we finished, she lifted me up in her arms and yelled, "You know, I'd marry this bloke if I didn't know he was already engaged." Gracie is crazy about America and Americans. She says we have the biggest of everything, the biggest buildings, the biggest swimming pools, and the biggest gripers. If we aren't griping about one thing, it's another. "Think of what you have here," she said. "Why, it staggers the imagination. So much sunshine, so much food, oil, copper, steel, railroads, and Danny Kaye."
Friends, now we have a real treat for you. Here's Eddie Cantor singing a song just for Gracie Fields. "Ain't She Sweet."
"Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street, and I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice, and I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? Just pass an eye in her direction, oh me, oh my, ain't that perfection? Some confection, I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Oh me, oh my, she's such a cutie, for her I'd die. My sweet patootie, rooty tootie, I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?"
Folks, this show is designed to give you a little of everything. Music, vocalists, fun, and even news. Listen to the latest.
Jimmy, would you like to hear more of those old American radio shows that they're doing in England?
Sure. I think it's more fun. Here, let me put on this next record.
Ladies and gentlemen, the program that locates rightful heirs to unclaimed fortune. Presenting... Missing Millionaires. An old Judge Rumpelmeyer passed away recently. He bequeathed to his beloved wife, Rebecca Rumpelmeyer, the sum of $1 million. This fortune remained unclaimed, however, for on the very day the benevolent old judge expired, beloved Rebecca also kicked the bucket. A gentleman with me now who claims to be their son, and therefore the rightful heir to the Rumpelmeyer fortune. What is your name, sir?
Robert Rumpelmeyer.
And where do you live?
323 Hollywood Boulevard.
You live at 323 Hollywood Boulevard. But that's a nightclub.
Yeah, I'm a playboy.
I see. Well, sir, if you can prove you're a true Rumpelmeyer, I am authorized to give you $1 million.
$1 million? Oh, boy. It's a cinch to prove I'm a Rumpelmeyer. Here's a picture of me and my family when I was a baby.
Is that you sitting on the nurse's lap?
No, that's my father.
If that's your father, then who is this fellow with the long gray beard?
That is me.
A baby with whiskers? How did that happen?
I was weaned on wobbly hair tonic.
Well, the picture you gave me seems to authenticate your claim, Rumpelmeyer. You know, you got here just in the nick of time. If you didn't show up to collect this money within the next 15 minutes, it would be forfeited to me.
Oh, goody. Give me my $1 million quick. I only got 10 minutes left.
Right. Now, to prove that everything is on the up and up, I want you to count your money. Here it is, $1 million in $1 bills.
Thanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
While we're waiting, we continue on to our next case. Last week in London, Sir Humphrey Butts passed away, leaving $4 million to his daughter. Missing Millionaires is proud to announce that we have a claimant here tonight. Madam, do you claim to be Miss Ina Bach, the beautiful young daughter?
Oh, that is very funny, very funny. Slip me the money, honey.
One moment, please. The will states that the claimant can be identified by a birthmark, a mole on her neck. Do you have a mole?
Oh, yes, yes. Of course I got it. I got it. Sure, I got a mole.
That's fine. Let me see it.
How dare you?
I don't want to see. You have a mole, haven't you?
A mole, yes. But on my neck? No.
Look, madam, if you won't identify yourself, perhaps your husband...
Oh, my hubby. The beast is such a dog. He's always driving me crazy.
What's wrong with him?
In the middle of the night, he's coming home, slapping me like a bass fiddle and singing Mr. 2x2.
You mean Mr. 5x5?
No, we got a very small apartment.
Your husband sounds very cruel.
Oh, he's such a dog. You wouldn't... Oh, what a dog, Daniel.
Oh, madam,
madam,
you shouldn't call your husband a dog.
But he's a dog, I tell you. He's a dog.
No, Ina, calm yourself. Tell me, how many children have you?
14, 9 Airedales and 5 Cocker Spaniels.
Now, get your dog. Now, before we hand over the money, we must be certain you're the rightful heiress. According to the will, you were born on February the 29th. That must have been leap year. You cannot be the legal heir unless you give me proof that you were born on leap year.
I give it to you. Oh, I give it to you. I was a leap year. Honestly, I was a leap year baby.
You were?
Yeah, the year I was born, my parents leaped off the London Bridge.
Madam, there are some discrepancies in your story. But since there are no other claimants, the money goes to you.
Oh, you're so I could kill you. You are dying.
Now, what do you intend doing with the $4 million?
First, I will go to a beauty shop and make myself beautiful.
And what will you do with the rest of the money?
The other $7 I put in the bank.
And now...
$996,996.
I think you missed one. You'd better run over that again just to make sure.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
You can always count on one person around here who knows how important figures are in the family budget.
Paddy Lewis brings you A Touch of Paris with a song from the Moulin Rouge.
Whenever we can. where is your heart? Let your ways like this, I worry and wonder. You're close to me here, but where is your heart? It's a sad thing to realize that you've a heart that never melts. When we kiss, will you close your eyes, pretending that I'm someone else? You must break the spell, this cloud that I'm under. So please, won't you tell, darling, where is your heart? You must break the spell, this cloud that I'm under. Please, won't you tell, darling, where is your heart?
Friends, here he is again, the star of our show, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy this get-together as much as we do. We have another half hour of fun and music lined up for you over the same station. Be with us, won't you? And until then, remember,
when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, yes, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. So till the next time, be full of good cheer. I hope the next time I'll meet you right here and keep you smiling. 'Cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with me.